There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Yo, what up, fuckers? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina. Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online, I sound pissed, I'm really not, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. Can't imagine fitting another appointment in your life? Me either. I mean, slow down, number one. But two, there's Talkspace. Therapy is as easy as sending a message to your therapist. No commutes, no leaving the office, and no judgment. You could Skype while you're taking a poop, but don't tell her, that's rude. To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/GWF, use code GWF, and you get $45 off your first month, and you show your support for this podcast. Again, that is GWF at talkspace.com/GWF.
And after you get your therapy, your mind's going to be in shape, so you want your body to get in shape too.
Hell yeah.
And that's where Daily Harvest comes in. We've all seen a mouthwatering healthy smoothie on Instagram and thought, that's the kind of thing I should be eating. But who has the time to make that every day? It's sad because I'm so basic that I absolutely do have that thought. Wouldn't it be great if you could get those picture perfect nutrients without having to hit the farmer's market and chop up a million fruits and veggies? Now you can get all your superfoods super fast with Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest sends superfoods eats straight to your door with your choice of smoothies, activated breakfast bowls, or nice cream vegan sundaes.
I see what they did.
That sounds obnoxious, but they're very, very tasty, and it does hit the spot when you're like, well, I want ice cream, but I don't want to be a fat bitch.
Don't be a fat bitch. But, you know, like in that, like, ugh, God, I'm going to get emails from that. Whatever.
Well, it doesn't matter. This is me personally talking, and I personally do not want to be a fat bitch. But nothing against fat bitches.
Yeah, so that's what Corinne wants, and that's okay.
So you can't tell me otherwise. Cups are stored in the freezer, so they're ready whenever you are. Their produce is organic and unrefined and looks as amazing as it tastes. You can actually see all of the whole ingredients when you open the cup.
It's true.
Again, confirmed. Daily Harvest freezes all their ingredients at peak freshness, sealing in their nutritional value. I don't know if you guys know this, but like if you just chop up vegetables and let them sit in the refrigerator, they do lose nutrients day by day. So that's a fun fact. Preparing each cup is insanely easy. Just add water, or if you're feeling fancy, you can substitute other liquids like coconut or almond milk. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code GWF to get 3 items free in your first box. That's promo code GWF for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Again, daily-harvest.com.
And I had Corinne bring over some Daily Harvest smoothies for me because I'm sad and I don't want to eat. So I will say, this shit's good.
Yeah. I was, you know, highly allergic to some parts of that. So that's why I had leftovers.
Exactly. I'm like, I'll take them.
Cherries and almonds.
Mama needs nutrients.
Coming to you.
Hey, you got social media? If you don't, you're a loser. Or are you smart? I can't tell. Probably the latter. Hey, but we have social media and you should follow us because we post about shows we're doing all the time on social media. And a lot of times people, they're like, I missed you. Come to Portland. I'm like, bitch, I was just there. Yeah. So if you follow us on social media, we're real obnoxious about posting pictures of our tour dates, our boobs, our butt. You know, whatever you want.
But Alfred. Yeah.
Our duo, Sorry About Last Night. It's Sorry About Last Night on Facebook and Instagram. SRY About Less NYT on Twitter. I'm Christina Hutch on everything.
And I'm Philanthropy Gal on everything.
Get with it.
Thank you. And come see us live. Tonight, we are in St. Louis at the Helium Comedy Club. We're also going to be there tomorrow night. We have two shows tonight. We have two shows tomorrow night. Make sure to get tickets for the Bridget Bishop tour.
You're going to see at least me in rare form, so I highly encourage it. Glamour Puss is a monthly show hosted by myself and Wendy Starling in New York City at Zinc Bar. The next one is Saturday, April 28th, 7:30 p.m. Get tickets, bring a friend, live your life. If you're in Columbus, Ohio, May 3rd.
Oh, wait, I forgot to put Nacho Bitches is also.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Friday and the day before Glamour Puss, press rewind and then go live your life on Friday, April 27th, 11:30 p.m. It's Nacho Bitches at New York Comedy Club. This week's guest co-host is Justin Perez. He is single. You know, I wouldn't advise dating him, but, you know, if you just want to have sex with him, that seems
cute,
fine.
Though.
We're also going to have a lot of fun guests, including John Campanelli and Jeffrey Gurian, who you've heard on the Guys We Fucked podcast.
And also Columbus, Ohio, May 3rd. We're at the Funny Bone. Indianapolis, we had to reschedule those dates. So we haven't rescheduled them yet, but we will. We are not coming to Indianapolis after the Columbus gig.
Because it was out of our hands.
It was out of our hands. We didn't choose it, but we will be rescheduling. So fear not. Rhode Island, Utah, Minnesota, Washington, California, and Texas. All so many places we are going to be at. We're bringing the Bridget Bishop tour to you. Go to sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com/tours for all the dates and ticket information. If you don't see ticket information on our website, that means it's coming soon.
Yeah, we're just getting you prepped and excited, but we're only two people. So we got to, you know, we have to trap. We spend full weekends in these places. So sometimes we say like, we're coming to Philly, but like, for instance, we're not going to Philly till August. This tour lasts all year.
Yes. So we're going to be touring until we die. So don't worry about it.
We're coming, but hopefully we won't die touring. You know, those are the little things.
Just don't fly Southwest and get sucked out of the thing. I'm so scared. Okay.
I mean, no one should be flying Southwest.
I'm never sitting in a window seat again.
It's so funny. I also booked myself an aisle seat.
I booked the window to fucking St. Louis.
No, I changed it today in St. Louis. I checked in and I immediately go, sitting
you
in the aisle.
Life-loving motherfucker.
I was like, someone's sitting in the aisle and her name's Corinne Fisher.
I'm wearing my seatbelt the second I get back from the bathroom. Also, though, kudos to them for landing the fucking plane and not, you know, killing everybody.
And it was a woman pilot, which someone pointed out to us.
Oh my God, really?
They're like, we know you're always joking about women pilots. I'm like, guys, everything is a joke. Life is a joke. Nothing we say on here.
It's a joke.
Fucking
your
serious.
Mom's a joke.
Please.
Your job's a joke. Your life's a joke. So is mine. So is hers. It's okay.
But what's not a joke is the Two Less Lonely Girls
so
podcast.
True.
It's an adult, unironic podcast about Justin
it's
Bieber.
It's truly not a joke.
It could not. It's the least jokiest thing I've ever done, which really is some insight into my life. So episode one, we covered Patty Millette and Justin's romantic getaway. Episode two, we covered Who Love Yourself, the song is about. I went on a deep dive on that
is
one.
That about him, maybe?
Both Rosebud and I made each other cry as we talked about Justin Bieber's Instagram.
Wait, were you crying because of his Instagram?
We went deep into discussing celebrity.
And
it makes me really sad sometimes. Yeah. So yes, Two Less Lonely Girls is on Spotify and iTunes. Thanks for all the feedback. It's very fun and I appreciate it.
Also, even if you don't listen to Guys We Fucked on iTunes, can you just do like a real, like take a pause. I know you're at your fucking desk. Like you can take a second. Like you're listening to a podcast while it works. So like, can you rate and review us on iTunes and subscribe even if you don't fucking listen on iTunes? Because my ego can't take being lower in the charts. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Well, it's been dipping a little bit and there's some call copycat podcasts.
Oh, really?
That have been infiltrating. And, you know, we encourage women to speak out and speak up. Just not about
like the same idea.
The things that we have already.
If you're going to do a podcast, you're going to do people you fuck. I mean, come on. That's been done.
But the amount of times people have said to my face, I started a podcast and I said, what do you do on it? And they say, I interview the guys that I've slept with.
That
to my face.
So if you're listening right now and you thought about ever telling us about the podcast or you interview a guy you fucked or girls you fucked, that is going to piss me off. I'm in a weird mood, you guys. So you have to forgive me. But like, don't fucking do that. Life, you know how many ideas there are in the world that haven't gotten taken advantage of? Grab one of those.
Yeah.
Niche market, motherfucker. Fuckers, find one. You can do it. You're talented. There's only one you in this fucking world. Do something else. You know what I mean? Hey, Stitch Fix is our new sponsor. Well, we've been advertising with them for a second, but like, I fucking love Stitch Fix. Love it or hate it, there's no denying that you could be shopping better. Oh, that's so goddamn true. I want to pass out every time I shop. I hate it. You either spend all day at the mall, ends up with yet another striped t-shirt, or scroll endlessly online to leave everything you want in your cart.
I'm literally wearing a striped t-shirt right now.
And I have a lot of things in my West Elm cart. Anyway, that's furniture. Now you can shop the productive way and end up with stuff you actually love with Stitch Fix. Whether you're looking to express your personal style, dress for the job you want, that's funny, or just try something new, Stitch Fix can style you on your time. You don't have to even leave the house. I love how all the things we advertise are like, don't get off your ass. That's not worth it. But well, seriously, this is a great service.
To volunteer or something, but not to talk to other people.
Oh, yeah, I know. Who would do that? Just fill out your style profile online and Stitch Fix will send clothes, shoes, accessories picked just for you. And if you don't want shoes, be like, nah, I'm good on the shoes. Your size, your lifestyle, your budget, and of course, what you like. Each Stitch Fix box, goddamn, contains 5 items you could try on at home. You see what works for you and your wardrobe. You only pay for the items you keep. You send everything back in a pre-posted envelope thing. It's really easy. Corinne and I have been doing this for 2 weeks and I fucking love this service.
2 months. Yeah, 2 months.
Stitch Fix covers shipping both ways for returns and exchanges. There's no subscription required. You can get your fix monthly, quarterly, or whenever you fucking feel like it. You get started at stitchfix.com/DWF and you will get 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. I'm not talking about your pussy. I'm talking about your Stitch Fix box, you perv. That's stitchfix.com/GWF to try Stitch Fix today. Stitchfix.com/GWF. Okay, now that I'm done reading the copy, seriously, this fucking service is amazing and I'm using it because I want to explore brands that I don't know what brands are. I don't know what the fuck. And you could put what kind of price range you're interested in. If you're saying, you know what, this week I'm going to treat myself and send me some fancier shit because I don't know anything about fancy clothes. I fucking love this service and they do a really good job.
I literally said, I wrote in my notes to my stylist this past box, I have a really nice butt and I need pants that accentuate this. And by golly, these 2 pairs of denim.
Did every little crevice of my butt show in these
pants? My butt looks good in almost any pants, but like true. Really like the kind where it's like the nice seam in between and it lifts it.
Ooh, and your butt goes a little up a little bit.
I was
a little
like,
space.
This is phenomenal. This is about to fall off, but this is phenomenal.
Yeah, this is really fun. I've honestly been thinking about hiring a personal stylist for a really long time. This, whoever the fuck I'm talking to at the end of the computer is doing a great fucking job.
Well, you can all leave a lot of notes and I like that. And so when you have that box to put on your clothes, you also get another box and then you're like,
consumerism, right?
Yeah. And I mean, the environment's not happy, but make a tent for your dog out of it and then you reused it.
Or your 3-year-old will like it more than a tricycle.
So welcome, FabFitFun, guys.
FabFitFun.
You've heard us talk about it. You've heard us mock it, but hell, are we burning those candles and using those eye masks that we got?
Yeah.
You bet your bottom dollar where we are. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box that delivers full size, that's all caps, that's why I said it like that, fashion, beauty, home, fitness, and wellness products to busy women or very gay men, I added that, for a life well lived.
Or straight men who want to treat themselves.
Oh God, I gotta say, if you're really loving it. Everything in the FabFit box, you might want to just explore homosexuality. I don't know.
Just suck a dick.
I don't.
It's not going to kill you.
Nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with that. It's fun. Delivered 4 times a year at just $49.99 a box. FabFitFun is a fantastic value because there are no samples of anything.
Yeah, fuck you.
Even if you don't like it.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. Get a full size. Give it to a friend. Oh, it makes you. I like the FabFitFun box because it makes you seem really generous.
Oh, I've given my best friend so many.
I just walk into Paula's house with stuff. I'm like, oh, look. I'm just so generous.
I'm Jewish Santa, bitch.
In fact, many products, individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. That's true.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Accurate. Don't worry if you miss the seasonal box because there's a great spring editor's box with favorites from spring and other past seasons.
Yeah, calm down.
The spring editor's box has a lot more customization options from a clutch to eyeshadow, tote to lip gloss. And they're like mention things that you like.
Okay, the Kate Somerville exfoliate, whatever the fuck.
Oh yeah.
Exfoliate.
I got that 2 times. It's great. I days on the road.
Oh my God, that shit is amazing.
Well, a lot of people aren't exfoliating the amount of times per week, which is 2 to 3 minimum.
But that shit gets that my skin good.
Yeah, because if you're wearing makeup, you have to be exfoliating.
I know.
You cannot not exfoliate. If you're just doing a makeup wipe, you're a dumb bitch. If you haven't signed up yet.
You are a dumb bitch, but you know what? You know better, you do better.
It's not too late. Try FabFitFun today. Go to FabFitFun.com to subscribe and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code GWF to get $10 off your first box. That's products valued at $200 for only $39.99. I highly recommend at least getting one because
goddamn,
this is a goddamn steal.
And it's seriously like, it's so fun to get a box in the mail and you go, oh my God.
And then you have gifts even. And so it's like, even if like you don't have just $40 lying around, I know that's not, you know, not nothing. But you get the $10 off and then you have like gifts for friends for like,
even if you don't like the shit,
three
you give
upcoming
else
birthdays at least. I mean, it's amazing. Again, go to FabFitFun.com. Use our code GWF. Get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. I got amped up just reading that. I was so excited. I can't wait to my next box. I love these
every
boxes.
Every time it comes, I'm like, is that my bum box?
I love the
Sorry
boxes.
To the people work there that I say it like that, but it's very enjoyable
for me. I can't stop with the boxes.
Me either.
Oh, I love boxes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Consumerism.
Oh, I don't mind it. I know exactly what they're doing either. And it worked. I guess they just sat down a bunch of bitches in a room and they were like, hey,
what do you bitches like?
What do you like? And they're like, boxes.
I want it in a box. Okay.
Can you make me prettier, but send it to me in a box?
Will this cream make me pretty? You know, it's like you're in the library in Beauty and the Beast and you're just looking at a bunch of creams. You're like, will this one make me beautiful? No, real beauty's on the inside. Oh, no, it's not. You might suck.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be hot.
I always forget that.
Yeah, guys, I don't know if you guys know this, but just every day you can wake up and be like, you know what? I don't want to be hot. You can, even if you are hot, you can choose not to be hot.
That's so true. Fun. Sometimes I take a day off from being cute and I don't put on any makeup and I like dress worse.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
and I'm
fun.
Like, man, getting ignored. This is shit.
Do whatever you want.
Living like a man.
Doesn't
okay.
matter.
If you want to email us about your problems, sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. We will try and figure them out.
But also, you know, take a read back and maybe you can solve that before we can get around to it.
Guarantee if you write us an email, read it back if we haven't replied or read it. And chances are the answer was in you all along. Okay. My boyfriend went out to dinner with his ex is the subject line of this email. Hi, Corinne and Christina. I've been listening to your podcast for a while and I've been inspired in so many ways. I've showed you to my sister and I'm proud to say she always comes to me to talk about certain topics that you guys go over during the show, like abortion laws in Ireland. She was livid. I'm here for a different reason. My boyfriend has a rather interesting relationship with his ex. Her family took him in when he was around 18 because he was angsty and didn't get along with his dad and they've been in his life for 4 years. They're basically his real family. When he moved out of their house, his ex blew up his phone from 5 different phone numbers. Ooh, threatened to kill herself. Uh-oh. Showed up at his dad's house, slashed my tires. All right, bitch, now you crossing the line. Told him many foul things and he had to change his number. Yet here he is today going out to dinner with her to mend things because in his eyes, it'll make the family functions less awkward. I don't see why he can't move on. She's an evil person in my eyes. Well, yeah, no shit in your eyes. She has claimed to move on from him, but still threw a massive fit when he moved out. Am I in the wrong for being upset that he's trying to fix a family bond or should he move on? How do I tell him I'm uncomfortable? Thanks, girls. Love you. Oh, see, your boyfriend's ex slashed your tires. You got it. Okay, so it doesn't seem like you've had any conversations with him about this and you have a little bit of background on why he's so close with her. He's got to move on. So what I would say if I were you is say, hey, this makes me uncomfortable. Can we talk about this real quick? Because this woman has ruined slashed your tires. That's psycho. We've all done shit in the heat of anger, especially if you're getting broken up with and you don't want to be broken up. And especially if you're a girl and you're not getting what you want. I feel like women tend to act out a little bit more when they get dumped and they don't want to be, just from my experience. And so I get that, but it's been a while and she needs to not, I mean, okay, cool. They took you in. But like when he was 18, that's cool. But you got to move on. You could still keep in touch with the family, I guess. But to be honest, I've never kept in touch with an ex's family. Well, I'm not that I didn't want to, but I just like,
well, I understand my brother keeps in touch with his ex's family, but it's also like the type of person I am. I just like wouldn't get close enough to your family to for that to even be on the table to begin with.
So maybe this girl's boyfriend is the type of,
right.
Like,
and there is a reason
for
it.
They took him in when he had nowhere else to go. And that means a lot. And you can't discount that. You can't, right. You know, your boyfriend might still need to go to her parents for advice on stuff.
Yeah.
If his dad's not in the picture or not a great role model, he needs somebody to
turn
to.
This is a very unique situation.
It is.
And so like, whereas there's no excuse for her slashing your tires, and that is absolutely erratic behavior. And you definitely should say, like, this makes me feel uncomfortable, and here's why. Mostly because she's treated you really poorly, and that's not okay. And at a certain point, he has to have respect for you. But he still does have this connection. And so maybe it was not, you know, the quote unquote right thing to do, but he's trying to make things better. It's not like he's going out to try to like rekindle a romance. It's completely.
Yeah, I don't think that at all.
The subject line is a little bit confusing because normally when someone goes out with an ex, like there is a little something.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah, but this is.
Why you got to go out with her?
This does not seem like that at all. So yeah. just tell him what you told us. But
approach it with a sense
of. Be open.
Yeah, exactly. A sense of openness and the fact that also too, she slashing your tire, whatever the fuck she did. I know it's hard to realize this right now. It is not personal against you. She's acting out for a reason because she's in pain. Not an excuse at all, but maybe thinking of it that way might help you be less angry.
It's not you. It would have been whoever the new girl was.
Yeah, whoever the fuck it was, she would have slashed the tires because she is hurting and she does not have coping skills, at least at this point in her life. So hopefully she will learn them and perhaps your boyfriend can help her. Maybe he knows her better than anybody else knows her, even if it's not sexual. Like it's okay. Like that can still be, I don't know, beneficial
It just shouldn't be taking a lot of time or energy away from your relationship. And you guys certainly shouldn't be fighting over it. So better to bring it up now before it really, really blows up.
Hell yeah.
All right. And this this one says, swallowing gives me diarrhea. And I really love this email. Hey guys, please don't mention my name. Don't worry. I wouldn't even if you told me I could. No intro. Here we go. So long story short, I'm not on birth control. So dudes can't bust in me. I mean,
what I said when I went on birth control. I'm like, yo, you can't bust in me right now.
I mean,
not on birth control.
You can use a condom. That's literally the point of a condom. Anyway, I'm moving on. But since I'm a giver, I'm always accepting of someone busting in my mouth.
Busting. What a word.
However, I've come across an issue where the morning after I swallow, I wake up with horrible diarrhea and stomach pains. Oh. I was wondering if you or anyone you know have ever experienced something like this. It's not so much of a problem because I haven't been staying over at anyone's place afterwards. Right now, it's just a nuisance in my life. And I'd like to find out whether or not I'm alone in this problem. Hope to hear back from you. Okay. All right. So I'm going to solve your problem or at least give you some information on it. But number one, there's a lot of things in this email that bothered me.
Yeah.
The giving. So it's like, you're like, this isn't a problem because the only problem would be if you had a diarrhea in the guy's house. No, the problem is that you are allowing yourself to do something that is physically repulsive to you and causing you pain. Don't do it anymore. Don't do it anymore.
You don't have to swallow the jizz.
What are you doing? There's a difference between being a giver and then just being someone who's getting fucking walked all over and getting cum in your throat by people who aren't even your boyfriend.
Girl, this story of my life.
This is out of control. Out of control.
No one jizzes in your throat unless you're okay with it.
Jesus Christ.
God damn.
And I mean, I don't even know. Maybe you're not even, it's not even grossing you out, but on some like visceral level, your body is saying, stop doing this. And we have to listen to our bodies. So
you know what? Oftentimes when your head can't make a decision, your body will.
And other gems. So I went to go ask Alice, which is a columbia.edu site that I go to. They have a lot of interesting answers to kind of off the grid problems, I will say. And so two people wrote in about getting diarrhea when they get ejaculate in them.
You're never the only one, guys. Goes to show you.
Yeah, no. And so there's a lot of mental reasons. Basically, if you don't know, male ejaculate consists of fructose sugar.
Oh, man.
Water.
I'm going to be a diabetic.
And a variety of other proteins. None are considered to have laxative properties. In fact, semen is non-toxic and safe to ingest,
darn
even
it.
In quantity. quantities larger than the 1 to 2 teaspoons that the average man ejaculates. Okay. So that's just so you have the facts about
that's cum. Very good to know.
So a lot of the times the reason people are getting diarrhea when they get ejaculate in their mouth is because they feel nervous about the sexual experience or they feel nervous about swallowing in general.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay. The second reason is because basically poop gets mixed into the cum. So if you're doing other things, if you're doing other things like anal play or something, the same as if with a woman, like as you're dripping, sometimes your fluid attaches other fluids.
Butt.
Like if you have your period, you know, sometimes that'll mix. Ugh. If you have your butt. So this is all mixed. And so if you're getting any
kind of a daily harvest for women's juices.
So if you're getting any poop in your mouth, that's bacterial and you're going to immediately get sick from that. That can be getting poop in your mouth is really fucking dangerous. Actually,
don't get poop in your mouth.
Another thing is if you just dislike the taste, if you don't mind doing it in your mind, that's fine. But if your mouth is saying, no, I don't like the way this tastes, that's another reason why you could be getting sick from it. And then also they say, have you consumed something else before swallowing? But if you're like, no, that's not the problem. You can actually be allergic to semen. It's not just a fun
excuse. Girl's dream.
Yeah, it's not just a fun excuse to say.
Get a doctor's note.
It's called HSP allergy, human seminal plasma allergy. It's an allergic reaction to the proteins in semen. HSP allergy has largely only been studied in women who are allergic to their partner's semen, because that would be problematic. And it's most common from ages 20 to 30.
Whoa.
Although some will have a localized reaction, such as itchiness where the semen touches. More often, they experience a whole body reaction, which can include respiratory illness, hives, gastrointestinal symptoms like diarrhea. Okay.
Oh my God. I need an EpiPen for jizz.
And then the one last thing that it could be is post-orgasmic illness syndrome. It's POIS. It's thought to be the experience.
You're
on crack. It's thought to be the experience of flu-like symptoms that develop after a man ejaculates. I think I have this.
What if it's just you can't take the world? I gotta go.
I got cum cough, guys. Can't come to work today.
What an excuse.
The idea is that the tissue of the man's urinary tract reacts to his own semen, causing the immune system to respond. However, this sort of reaction would occur nearly every time a man ejaculates, not just after consuming your own semen. Okay, great. So that's,
oh man,
there's a lot of tips there, but just overall, the main problem is not that you have diarrhea. The problem is that you get diarrhea from cum in your mouth, and then you keep fucking letting people cum in your mouth.
Don't get cum in your mouth.
Stop doing that,
girl. Take the cum out of your mouth.
Love yourself.
Don't do it. Close your mouth.
Oh, man. I get so amped. These are the kind of emails that I lose sleep over.
Man, we did a bonus episode, stitcherpremium.com/GWF. We have a lot of really fucking good ones where we read this one email, and I even forget what the problem was, but it was a very, I got so mad at this girl who wrote us because I'm like, you're doing something you don't want to do. Stop doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so hard. And I don't know. I do it too. I'm the same way. I don't know why it's so hard for me. I don't get it. What the fuck?
Yeah. If something doesn't make you feel good. I mean, besides there are times in life when it is nice to do a favor for someone.
So totally.
I don't want to say if anything that you don't like doing, just don't fucking do it. That's not at all what I'm saying.
You sound like Papa Bum.
But yeah, but but you know the difference between a favor and then getting walked all over. You do.
Yes. And you know what? Difference. Maybe sometimes if you're like, what am I doing? Ask yourself, do I enjoy this? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Why do I enjoy it? Is it because it makes the other person happy? What are the repercussions for me?
Mm-hmm.
Do some little self-evaluating. Speaking of feeling good, our guest today is, I learned so much.
Oh, this was such an informative episode.
Oh my God, we've wanted to have her on forever. Our guest today is a stand-up comedian. She's a former porn star, a former stripper, a current badass motherfucker. I added that part. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show,
Aaliyah Janine.
Thank you. Okay, we are here with Aaliyah Janine. Hi.
Thanks.
Me too. Happy to have you here. So you're in two of our most favorite industries.
Oh, yay.
Comedy and sex work. But I mean, do you consider yourself still a member of the sex work industry because you're retired, or were you always feel like a lifelong allegiance to it?
Well, I kind of never, I stopped performing in movies, but I still have a regular client.
Oh, okay.
Oh, client. Oh, like for what? Do you do custom videos or something?
No, for life. Like, I'm like escort basically.
Right. Oh,
or
cool.
Maybe like sex surrogate. I don't know. It's been like 7 years almost. So.
What's the definition of a sex surrogate?
A sex surrogate is someone that they're actually like some insurance companies and stuff like that actually hire these women to help people basically with sexual dysfunctions and stuff like that. There's a lot of like vets and stuff like that that have PTSD, or, you know, they lose limbs and stuff like that, and they just lose all self-esteem.
Oh my God.
So these people go and like basically reteach them how to have sex a lot of times.
So that's legal.
Yeah. A lot of times in certain states and cities and stuff like that, it's absolutely legal. Insurances sometimes cover it, like certain ones, obviously.
Whoa.
Now, I don't know.
Wow.
Right.
Because I've always thought of myself, because I've been technically a sex worker now for 17 years. Like, I started out as a stripper and stuff like that, that I've always considered myself basically a naked therapist. Mm-hmm. I really
you are a naked therapist.
Basically,
yeah.
Because a lot of the times I was like, I was great at dancing, loved dancing, hated dealing with just like the typical like bachelor parties and stuff like
douchebags.
That.
That's like a comedian in you.
Yeah, I would get into a lot of fights. Like,
can you give us an example of something shitty a guy said to you?
Well, like, I've definitely broken some noses before. I've definitely, because one dude bit my boob one time when I was like going to grab, because obviously I got the titties to do it, and grab the dollar out of his mouth, and he bit my boob. So I took his head and I pounded it into my chest plate. Until I broke his nose.
Wait, he bit your tit and you broke his nose.
Yeah.
What a bad bitch.
Yeah, I was not happy.
Did anybody say, Aaliyah, don't do that?
Yeah.
Because
I got that a lot. Yeah, no, they're like,
they shouldn't have bit you.
Well, no, that was the thing. Like, the owner, he was just like, fuck. He's like, you can't do that. I'm like, what is he going to do? Is he going to fucking sue me? Like, let him sue me. I'm like, technically, that's not, that's assault, that's sexual harassment, that's sexual assault. Like, there's so many things, because he even said, I'm like, do it. I fucking dare you. Because at the time, I was going to school to be a cop, so I was like super big on like laws and shit.
Oh my God.
Wow, you have such an interesting life.
You are the most interesting person. And with the sex surrogacy, I'm curious. So you've had clients that your job, the service you're providing specifically, is sex, like teaching them how to basically
Have
sex
like
again?
Not so much that. It's more like emotional kind of stuff. Like some of the dudes were like married and just had super shitty relationships with their wives, and so a lot of times they just need someone to like listen to them and stuff like that. And I'm a great listener
and being understanding.
Yeah.
That's why I've always been supportive of, we've always been supportive of sex work, but like specifically prostitution or whatever, whatever the word that is the best to call it is, like, that can be so healthy for people.
Yeah.
They just need somebody to not judge them
for it so much. Oh, well, I mean, that's what we're good at is judging.
No, that's the comedy side of you.
Yeah.
That's gotta be tricky to be a comedian and then not be able to like roast somebody.
There's some things that are hard. Like, I do have like a lot of like rape jokes and like you know, and stuff like that. And people, like, I get like sometimes questioned as to be like, oh, like, why do you talk about it? I'm like, because it was funny. Like, you laughed, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, then that's all that really needs to be explained about it. I hate having to explain jokes.
I know.
So it's just like, whatever you're thinking about, it's like, you know, there are, I think a lot of rape jokes exist because people are so constantly thinking about rape.
Yeah.
It's confusing. It's scary. I mean, for a long time, it was my biggest fear. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, every woman has.
Like, I open up sometimes, especially if there's like a lot of men in the audience. I'm just like, hey, guys, there's a lot going on in the world right now. Did any of you wake up this morning and be like, oh, I'm probably a rapist?
Yeah. Sometimes I ask crowds, I'm like, are any guys here nervous?
Like, how nervous are you?
You nervous? You shouldn't be nervous if you didn't do anything.
Yeah. And then I talk about like Weinstein and like all of those dudes. Like, I have like two explanations for that. One, that men are cheap as fuck, that they should just pay women instead right. of raping.
Absolutely. That's a good one.
And then people like Louis C.K. and like Aziz like still don't know how to make a woman come, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like that, because a lot of that does have to do with that.
And that, I feel like when a guy has an issue with that and he's not the kind of person that would deal with it outwardly, like talk about it or yeah. talk to their partner or talk to a sex worker about it, they're just going to harbor and it's going to surface in the ugliest
yeah.
way.
Yeah. It's not pretty.
So what okay, I want to start at the beginning because okay. you have such a crazy interesting career. Yeah. So you were studying to be a cop.
Yeah.
And then also stripping.
Yeah.
And
well,
what
I had
made
to pay
you
for cop school somehow.
Okay, so stripping paid for cop school.
Yeah.
Did the people you were in cop school with know that you were stripping on the side?
Two people did, because I danced outside of, and like when I first started going to school, I was in like a super serious relationship and, oh. and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh fuck, I need money now. So let me go back to what I know that could pay for the lifestyle that I became acquainted to. Mm. And so like the other dude, like I was dating a guy, and then our other friend, like they knew, and I went and danced like an hour at this, it was called Texas J's. It was just little shithole, but I made like a bunch of money, like $200-$300 a night every time I worked. And
damn.
At that time I'm like, okay, cool.
For an hour?
No. Oh, for a night, like for that area. I'm like, that was good enough.
It's good. Yeah. $200-$300 a night is great.
For that, and then like and then I went to a couple different strip clubs, and then I stopped going to school. Like I was certified for law enforcement. Like I went through all the training. I was pepper sprayed. I like did firearms.
Wait, whoa. Why pepper sprayed in the face?
Yeah. And then we have to do like a simunition like training thing where like this dude, like we're trying to apprehend this dude, and then he pepper sprays us, and then we still have to apprehend this dude and like call for backup and shit. And they videotape it. Like we watch it all the time.
How do you prepare yourself to be pepper, like mentally,
like it's gonna hurt.
That's oh my god! Like,
how bad does it hurt?
Yeah, it hurts pretty fucking bad. Like I did great out of like our whole class, except for the fact because like we have like a rubber walkie-talkie and like rubber gun. I confused the walkie-talkie and the gun
because they're almost shaped the same. Like
calling
it was my
backup and you're shooting a bird.
Yeah,
out of the sky.
And it was like because they were shaped the same, and it was like they made us put it in the same pocket and stuff like that.
That doesn't seem like a good plan.
Well, a lot of the training that cops do is like we're supposed to fuck up because we're supposed to learn from our mistakes.
Okay.
Basically, yeah. Like I learned the hard way that when you shoot your instructor in the head with a paintball, you are fucked for the rest of the year.
Yeah, because then
he wasn't wearing his helmet, so that was also his fault.
So it's his fucking fault.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Well, yeah, messing up is the best way to learn.
Yeah,
it's painful.
And then we keep doing it and doing it until we do it right. So it's like muscle memory is a lot of the stuff that they train cops to do. So we do like it's just repeating, like cleaning your gun anytime, like backfires, different ways that guns backfire and like malfunction and stuff like that. We like purposely make it look like that and then just keep doing it over and over. Like we would do it for hours.
Wow. Do they, I've read about this, but I'm curious if, did they give IQ tests?
Not that I know.
Okay,
I mean,
somebody along the line, I read about that. And then they're like,
and maybe
they're like,
for higher
people with lower. Yeah.
Maybe okay. for like, I mean, gosh,
you do have to have
my uncle
like,
was a lieutenant. I'm going to ask him he's very smart.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing that was not a coincidence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cause they have like the test to like become sergeants and lieutenants are insane. And like to even be a basic cop, like you have to have like, at least in Wisconsin, I think it's 60 college credits. So when I left school, I had 63. So I'm like, fuck it. I have my degree.
Yeah.
Because it was like an English class or something stupid. I'm like, I could fucking write. Like, done. I graduated. I've been telling people I still graduated. Fuck it.
And this is a little off topic, but as far as like fear. So like, you know, with all the shootings that people are like, well, you shouldn't have shot. You shot too many times and it was out of fear.
Or shoot him in the fucking leg.
Do they teach you how to like,
yeah, like
feel fear better?
Well, yeah, that's a lot of it. Because our instructors are fucking scary too when they're coming at us. Because that's who like the bad guys are in a lot of these things. And especially with all of the shootings and all the African-American men getting shot and stuff like that. And basically, like, just murdered. Like, the training that I had was to not do that. Like, the level of
that's
force.
Good.
Like, the level of force, like, shooting someone is literally the last
resort.
The last. And, like, you have
got
to,
tasers. Yeah. You got pepper.
Like, there is so, and like they teach us how to fight. I love to fight. Right. Like, and I'm like, I'll fucking wrestle with somebody. Like, fuck, you know what I mean? But yeah, they give us all this, these other tools, like batons, like all these other things. Fucking a rubber walkie talkie you could beat a dude.
Does a baton hurt?
Yeah. Oh, okay. God, I just had bruises all over my legs. And because I have double jointed elbows, they couldn't get it out of my hand, because they teach you how to like rip it out of someone's hand if someone grabs it. And they couldn't do it with me because I have double jointed elbows. Wow. So they were just flying me around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Damn.
I don't miss that.
So, and then while you were stripping, how long was that?
I danced for about a year and a half before I met the dude, and then we were together about 3 years, and then it was probably about like a year and a half, 2 years after we broke up that I went back to dancing, maybe like 25, 26, mm-hmm. and then from that age to 30, and that's when I moved to Florida to start training to be a feature dancer. Where you get like paid to go to clubs, where you're not a house girl anymore with like the big
flyers on the table.
Yeah, big fancy outfits and stuff like that. That's what I wanted to do when I first started dancing, because I'm like, fuck this house girl shit. Like, I'm not paying for people, because you have to pay a house fee and shit like that. I'm like, I'm not paying $35.
Oh, you have to pay?
Oh, yeah.
To strip?
Yeah, because we're independent contractors renting the stage.
I was like, it's like if you go to work at a salon as a hairstylist or that kind
of
thing.
You're renting out the chair. Yeah, it's the same concept.
Did you get along with the other strippers? I always have this vision in my head of like, oh, they're just like in the green room, like shooting the shit, talking about boys.
Yeah, a lot of, I mean, like in bigger clubs, like you have your cliques and stuff like that. But in the smaller clubs, yeah, actually, one of my girlfriends, Ashley, that I used to work with, she's coming to visit me in New York, her first trip to New York in June when I graduate. So, yeah, still totally friends with like a big part, like a group of them for sure. Yeah, so some of them, my best friend, Stephanie, I met when I first started dancing, and we've been best friends for like almost like 15 years now or something.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Did you ever get fingered in a strip club? Like, but like, you know, because you asked for it.
Because I want it. No, no. Okay. I've definitely picked up.
Because I always wonder, how far can you go?
Can we go? I mean, we could go kind of far depending on the club. Yeah. I want to say out of all the years that I danced, maybe like 5 or 6 dudes I picked up. Like, I'm selective.
Oh, that's good. And what else, like, what other, do you have any other horror stories? Like that fucking tit biter? What a dick.
Well, that one. Oh, when I went to dance in Florida for the first time, because there's like laws are different in each state and stuff like that. So Wisconsin at certain clubs, like, you have to like stand on a stool and you have to be like 3 feet away.
Stand on a stool?
Yeah, yeah. Texas James. It's weird. And we also had to wear belly bracelets. I don't want to get into it. Like, so many of the laws are weird. God. And then other places, there was contact. Yeah, because we had to have our stomachs covered. So a belly chain was a loophole.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, before we used to have to cover our nipples.
Dumb.
We used to have to cover our nipples with Band-Aids.
And Band-Aids.
The first time I ever danced, I was 18. It was Ricky's on state. And we had to wear like nylons. We had to wear underwear, nylons, and then a pair of like booty shorts.
Like Hooters.
Yeah, basically. And then like cover our nipples. And then that was how that was a stripper. And then the law started changing. And then we just wore a liquid latex, because we had to have our nipples covered because women lack. You know, all women all the time.
Oh, and they're gonna spill milk all over the guys.
We're just gonna squirt milk everywhere.
It's gonna ruin the boners.
Yeah. So
is that the real reason for like the fear of nipples in society? Lactation?
I didn't even fucking know.
I mean, at least in Wisconsin for that law, yeah. Like, so
like cleanliness?
It was mainly to block and that like a visual thing. Like, the law was written very weird, because like the latex glue that people use for pasties, we wouldn't use pasties. We would just put the glue on and then put like blush or something like that on. Mm-hmm. And then like throughout the night, you're like rubbing and shit, and it's just like this weird rubber shit on your nipples.
Ooh.
And then like, because you kept putting it on, and like you would lose color in your nipples.
Oh. Wouldn't you chafe? Like, yes.
Oh God, it was horrible.
That sounds really painful.
So a lot of times I would just put hairspray, because it was shiny, because the shiny part, or like just a really shiny eyeshadow.
The guys will love this.
Yeah.
And they probably would.
God, I hope no one actually did have to breastfeed their child during
that
time, because like they'd be poisoning their own
baby
breast
milk. Glitter for life now because of this law.
Oh, boy.
But any other horror story like
yeah. So when I went to Florida, they have different laws. They're allowed to like full on touch you there, like titties and ass.
They don't have to ask.
Well, they're supposed to, but in this particular club, like I didn't know. I was there for a bike week. I used to travel around with a lot of bike weeks and stuff like that. And I was giving a guy a lap dance, and I was sitting on him, like he was sitting down on my back to him, and he went full on in front and grabbed my boob. So I elbowed him like 8 times and went up, and then I broke his nose doing that.
So funny.
And then the security guard comes in and rips me off, and he's like, "What the fuck?" and like shakes me, and I'm ready to hit him. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Don't fuck with me, bro.
I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing?" I'm like, "He just grabbed me." He's like, "They're allowed to fucking touch you." I'm like, "They're not allowed to fucking touch me, not for $20.
Yeah, could have told me that.
I'm like,
when I walked
where
in.
Is this in the rules? There's no rules. He's like, "Oh, you're not from it. Motherfucker, do I sound like I'm from here?" Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, no. So
am I fucking my cousin? No.
Yeah. I lasted a whole 2 hours in that club. Like,
wow.
Before I got fired.
I'm surprised you lasted 2 hours. I would have lasted 5 minutes.
Like, it was, well, I was getting drunk, so that was a
helpful thing. Helpful, I bet.
Super fun. Well, I mean, because it was bike week, and like, I know a lot of like dudes that have, like, I grew up around bikers, so I just knew a lot of dudes and stuff. I was like, yeah, let's get wasted. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm here to make money. So like, let me go get a lap dance quick and then come back and do more shots, because that's what I did. Yeah, so we ended up having to go to a different strip club.
Yeah, you know.
I just gave up on working. Yeah,
probably plenty in Florida.
Yeah, I literally. Well, yeah, in that area, I gave up working that week in general. I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is
not worth it.
Not worth it. I made money like doing like selling shots and shit like that. There's other
how many
ways.
Noses did you break?
Two.
Okay, those are the two.
Yeah, just those two. Wow. My favorite.
Those are two more than I've broken.
How do you
so
break a nose?
I mean, there's so many different ways because of the way that I went up. Like, I actually could have killed him because there's a certain way, like, you could palm someone. Like, if you hit it, if you hit the nose far and deep enough, like, you could kill them.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Did you take self-defense class, or did you learn this from the police
training?
Well,
yeah, that, and my dad was a Marine, so I learned how to kill people with my bare hands at 5.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Yeah. That's a really? Fun way to grow up. I mean, a lot of useful skills, I gotta say.
Well, I mean, because he had severe PTSD, manic, depressive, bipolar, and
he had this.
Yes, and we grew up on, like, I grew up on war movies, and it's just like my sex talk was basically, guys are gonna want to fuck you, and you're not gonna want to fuck them, so this is what you do.
Insightful, Dad.
This is what you do if anyone tries to fuck with you and you don't want them to. So, like, he taught me how to, like, snap necks and, like,
hotwire
cars and break into houses.
Wow.
Stuff like that.
Well, yeah. Where does the breaking into houses come in with the no sex?
If you gotta get shelter.
If that
guy's chasing you with his dick out, you gotta go in a house.
It would just be like some random time, like getting gas or something like that. He's like, okay, Aaliyah, if you ever need to break a window, you take duct tape and you put it on the window and then you tap it so that way the glass doesn't shatter on the floor.
Oh my God.
It's the same as when you like nail into like a wall, you have to put tape on so it doesn't split.
Yeah.
Same concept. Oh, interesting.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow.
So you're like unassaultable.
Well, I wouldn't say, I mean, it's definitely happened, but I definitely
you got
know.
Skills.
Yeah.
It has happened.
Yeah. I definitely know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
And stuff like a lot of times too. I remember one time when I lived in North Hollywood and like my little convenience store bodega was like 3 blocks down from my house. I would walk there all the time. Went there was this weird little dude, and all of a sudden he started following me around, and like I know the guy because I'm there all the time because I smoke, so I'm there like every other day.
Yeah.
And he just kind of looked at me, and I'm like, I don't know, I walked out, and then that dude walked out, and I started walking, and I noticed he was following me, so I like obviously wasn't going to go the way that I wasn't going to go to my house, but I stopped like halfway and I just turned around. I'm like, can I help you? I'm like, because if you're going to try anything, I suggest you do it now when I'm facing you. Because I face a lot of guys like that, because a lot of times they get off on the fear. And so if you're not afraid, then they kind of get turned off.
Wow.
Or sometimes.
Do you think that guy was trying to rape?
Well, he was definitely not up to good. Something. It was
something
just
bad.
Something weird following. No, it was definitely not good feelings. And like, I've done that, turned around and a dude's like, I don't know what you're fucking talking about. I'm like, sorry, my bad.
Well,
but
women,
it's always better to trust your instinct. I was just reading an article about how like there's a crazy high percentage of people who bad things have happened to as far as like relating to another person. Like 99% of them had a gut feeling that they did not follow.
Yeah.
It's very rare that something bad happens to you and you don't have like a little bit of like
a fight.
flight or something in you beforehand. And I think just women are so used to be like being told we're crazy or we're overreacting that we're like, oh no, it's probably nothing, or we're so hurt, like we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah, yeah, it's always that behind, one.
You know, that, you know, and just like,
story of my life.
It's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, I'd rather be an asshole or the crazy bitch than the bitch that just got raped.
Oh,
right?
Words I mean, to live by.
That's a bumper sticker, Aaliyah.
Words to live by. I encourage
you. So what would you say, or like, what's the most basic or helpful self-defense move? The palming with the nose?
The palming is always good because it's stronger. A lot of women don't know how to hit. They always want to like turn their fist when it's actually like straightforward, like this. You don't want to, I'm sorry, people that can't see.
Like so up palm. And down, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But palm is always good because it is harder and you can have more force with that.
Ooh, okay.
If you don't have a lot of upper body strength, I'm good at, I like doing the finger to the throat thing.
Oh, in between the clavicle bones, right?
But you also have to be careful because you could kill somebody that way too.
Well, if you're trying to attack you.
Yeah, but the self-defense laws in New York are super not really victim like savvy.
How so?
Like a lot of times, like I've taken one self-defense class here in the city, and the guys, like I taught this woman like how to use an umbrella basically as a weapon.
Ooh.
And she used it and like she broke the dude's nose, and the cops ended up arresting her, and he could press charges against her.
What did the guy do to her to get her?
He was trying to rob her. He was trying to take her bag.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, that's the New York law. So
wow,
it's the same as like when the burglar like fell on through like the window onto the knife kind of thing. There are a lot of laws that are real fucked up, and you don't know until it happens.
So yeah. So anytime, and I thought about that because a lot of my one of my friends, he told me, he's like, I know you like to fight and like defend yourself. Just be careful because you could go to jail. And I'm like, I'll fucking go to jail. Like I am like that type of woman. I'd be like, fuck it. Put me in jail.
Yeah.
Have you been to jail?
No.
Whoa.
Hey, congrats.
Knock on wood. Yeah, baby.
Like the only time I've ever been taken into custody, and I use that term very loosely. I'm also a white woman, so let's just make that perfectly
clear. Yeah, it's easier. A little easier.
Right. The only time I've ever been taken in is for two unpaid parking tickets totaling $40, which suspended my license plate that I didn't know about because I had moved and I never got the letter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And because like I blew... I think I blew like a 0.03 or something like that. They're like, I mean, I had been drinking for 12 hours. Like I could beat breathalyzers. It's a special skill that I have.
Oh, wow. Damn, you're so good at everything.
Yeah, a lot of street smarts.
You could be naked and alone in the woods and be dropped off by a helicopter and figure it out.
Yeah, no, I actually like... I used to do that when we were younger. Our dad used to, like, we used to do fun stuff like that. Yeah, he was a fucking Marine and he was crazy. Of course he taught us how to do shit like that.
Survival skills. That's
that
amazing.
Like a movie, yeah.
Speaking of fucked up laws, the SESTA bullshit.
Oh, God, yeah.
We broke it down briefly a couple weeks ago, but I said, I think we want to dive a little bit deeper.
It got signed. Yeah. It got signed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of new, but...
Which was weird to me because when the House and Senate, like, signed it, like, they sat on it.
Mm.
Because Trump went to Florida to go golfing, so he wasn't working, and then they gave it to him on the 3rd, and then at that day, he has 10 days to sign it, otherwise it's considered a pocket veto. But they sat on it for like 15 days, and I'm like, how is that legal?
So fucked up, because they knew.
Yeah.
They knew
he's going to Florida and like going to bomb Syria, so we're like, we're just going to wait on the whore bill. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my God.
So
yeah, angry. Whores can wait. We got to kill
whores can wait.
We gotta kill some people in a country that we won't let anybody in.
We gotta bomb people to tell them not to bomb people.
Yeah,
that's way logic. Bombing works.
Oh yeah.
And I know, like, when we talked about this in an intro a couple weeks ago, but you know, whenever sex workers are like, "Hey guys, this bill is fucking bullshit."
Yeah,
they're always right. I mean, because it's like I don't like the condom law with the porn thing. I was like, it makes sense that you want. But then when somebody broke it down for me, and I realized, okay, that is a violation of your rights.
Yeah.
And you really, like, the average person would think, yeah, that's a good thing. So the SESTA bill, could you explain what it is and what it does and the repercussions
of
as
it
a result?
For all for you sex guys. Workers.
Sex workers, yeah.
Okay, so what it is an anti-sex trafficking bill, basically. Mm-hmm. They're targeting specific sites that escorts use to advertise on and stuff like that, like websites like Backpage and Humanoplex. Euros, is another big one, because they have found a couple random, apparently, like, sex trafficking for children. Yeah. Like, the apparently on Backpage. Because it's happening. Oh, well, the thing is, well, when it comes with this, is that, like, the amount of actual sex trafficking, like human sex trafficking on these types of sites is, like, nothing. It's all on the dark web. It's yeah, all like, on the, like, yeah. 90% of the dark web is all fucking
is
sex
trafficking.
It's
child porn, sex trafficking.
Oh, God, it's so
drugs.
Gross on the dark. It's the dark web.
Mm-hmm. You would think they would make that illegal or kill it.
Well, the
somehow.
Government created it to spy on criminals. And so, of course, not going to. Oh, yeah. I did a whole like big thing on it because of the pedophilia. Like I did a thing on my podcast, Hormones, about pedophilia and stuff like that. It's a mental illness and all this other stuff. Okay.
Well, and then also, I mean, people high up in the government don't want child sex trafficking to stop because a lot of them are involved in it, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely as someone who's in the sex industry, mm-hmm. I definitely know that so many politicians have or had or will sleep with escorts. Like, it's
have you ever slept with a politician?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
A known
but
one.
You
don't say names. You
18
don't
plus. I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Definitely legal. Yeah.
One that's known or any that people know.
Well,
senators, Congress people.
Yeah. No. I'm not gonna even.
Yeah. Okay. But then it's like. You know, if they just were open about it, obviously it's illegal, so that's why they're not. But also, they wouldn't anyway.
Yeah.
But like, it's not a bad
thing. It's just a law to make people think that the government is actually doing something when they're not. And so what this does, like Backpage is already down. That guy is already getting sued for a bunch of stuff, prostitution, money laundering,
Jesus.
All of this other stuff. A bunch of other websites like Craigslist, their adult section or whatever, gone. A lot like, ooh. I'm not sure if misconnections or like any of the dating stuff, but whatever, all those are gone mm-hmm. now. So even people that were using that to like for random hookups, no longer.
Mm-hmm.
Websites like Twitter, Facebook, normal, regular people that like to send their boyfriend, girlfriends like tit pics and dick pics, no longer, because now those websites, because there's a law, I think it was like CDA was a law where it protected the websites from the content that people put on it. So that's what a tube site kind of is. It's like it's protected underneath the law for the content that people put on it. Mm. Now, that protection is gone. So now websites can be sued and are liable now for the content that certain people are putting on it. So like a lot of these forums, a woman just got arrested using seeking arrangements as escorting.
Fuck.
So a lot of these women...
The woman got arrested.
A woman, yes.
Not the guy. Well, the guy was a
yeah,
plant.
Yeah. So
I wonder if do you think that we'll have FBI plants that are posing as sex workers to meet the men and to arrest the men?
Maybe, but that's like, they don't
probably
really do
not.
That a lot.
Seeking arrangements is for rich people.
Yeah, and like the sugar daddy websites
so politicians.
And stuff like that. Yeah, like a lot of
and,
that.
You know, all
yeah, but even
owners,
regular
yeah.
people are affected by this. They don't even realize it. Like a huge part of our sexual freedom was just taken away online, like everyone.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I also would advise against sending on Twitter and Facebook just for security.
Yeah.
Because it's only moments before all that shit's going. Like,
yeah.
So anything bad you want to say via text.
So I've received dick pics via Instagram from people like 1 year on the podcast for my birthday. We were like, I've never gotten dick pics, so send me it. And a couple people are like, here you go. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. Is that who's that? Who?
Well, depending, because they do look at that. I mean, Instagram, let's say the government looks and they're like, oh, she's soliciting for dick pics.
Oh, I mean, technically did.
Well, but I did it a while ago this law was
happening. We did it previously.
Yeah. Do not send me naked photos, anybody.
Because that's technically a form of...
But I can text somebody a naked photo or ask somebody for
yeah,
a naked
yeah,
photo,
texting
right?
is fine, but it's like using these different websites. So like like Skype. Like I used to have Skype dates with one of my dudes in California like all of the time. And like, so no longer because that could be seen because that's like a form of webcam. Yeah.
You would have to FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So wait, are all the webcam sites shut down?
That's an excellent question. They don't really know what they're going to happen with a lot of these sites. Cause what's happening now is that a lot of these women that use these sites are now like getting pushed back to streetwalking a lot of times, or they're trying these
Jesus.
Other
dangerous,
so
as
dangerous
fuck,
which
yeah.
is super dangerous. And like the amount of women that are murdered, you know, amount of women, like, they there was like a brief, like kind of half-assed study where something I read on Huffington Post where like some 17% of murders against women stopped when these websites happened.
Made sex work available. I remember reading that going, that makes a lot of sense.
Does that streetwalking? So I briefly, before we sat down, I saw a new article about SESTA where it's particularly dangerous for trans sex workers. Is that because when they're street walking and they don't realize that maybe it's someone who presents as a woman but still has a penis? Is that why?
Yeah. That and like being confused, you know, because guys that pick up a lot of trans women, then that confuses their sexuality.
Oh, sure. Especially I feel like if they wanted to have sex with a trans sex worker or trans female sex worker, they still have the possibility of reacting like that. Because once you get off, your brain and...
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before, after, you know. Yeah, no, it's super scary for a lot of, like, almost, I don't want to say more, but it could be more, and especially, like, any minority, really, because a lot of times they are forced to go to more shitty neighborhoods, you know? Like, I worked with a pimp for a while. Like, I've done it all. Like, when it came to sex work, like, I dove in, and I'm like, let me see what all of this is about, you know what I mean? Like, I really went into it, and, like, I mean, it was, like, a week, so...
So what was your experience even for a week working with a pimp?
Oh, God. I mean, it was entertaining. Like, we smoked a lot of pot and we drove around a lot. I do remember.
So he was like, hey, I got Aaliyah. Anybody?
Yeah. Like, the first time I worked with a pimp...
I love that sentence.
Aaliyah, you're the best.
It was when I was still I didn't technically work. This was before, like, I was just like really curious about sex work. Mm-hmm. When I lived in Wisconsin, I think I was like 20 or whatever, but it always like really fascinated me and my girlfriends. Like, we used to put out ads in newspapers about massages.
Wow.
And then like invite guys to these hotels. They thought that they were getting sex, but we would actually just get them massages. But I did give one.
Oh,
guy,
you really would give a massage?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, I said massage.
Yeah. Perf. No, totally. Like, would rip off a bunch of dudes when I was 20 like that. Except for one dude. I used to give him hand jobs because, like, for some reason, it just turned me on so much. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, why do I like this? So
whatever.
So that was something because I grew up Catholic, you know, and like just everyone's very judgmental in Wisconsin when it comes with sex. Like, you get married, you have kids. That's it, you know, anal, you know, it was just no anal, no fun kind of thing. So I still had that stigma and stuff. It was
another bumper sticker.
Yeah. So it's when I moved to Florida that I was like, I could finally be a whore.
You could be your true self.
Oh, Florida.
I mean, what a place to start. Oh,
good place.
Oh. Yeah,
so what other ways is, like, I thought the back page seemed to get shut down before Trump signed this shit into law. How is that legal?
Oh, well, because they already had a bunch of shit on the guy. Because that was the site that was kind of the reason why they made this law and all this other stuff was because of that. So they already had it already.
Wow.
So, because, I mean, is there any relationship to human trafficking and sex work? Do you have an opinion on, like,
two
what?
Two completely different things. Sex
what
work
would
is
think,
with
you know?
Consensual.
No. Oh, I mean, like, not, I know by definition there's nothing in common, but as far as, like, the way that sex workers, like, use the internet to get clients or anything, like, is there any ways that they intertwine? And if not, like, do you have any suggestions about, like, trafficking law that would actually be great in that it would stop sex trafficking but not harm sex workers? I know that's lots of people probably thinking about that right now.
Atlanta Airport has a lot of signs in the female bathrooms like, hey, you getting trafficked? Call someone.
Tell number one US hub.
And not a lot of times. Like, it's not necessarily only sex trafficking. It's like they're labor and stuff like that too. But sex trafficking, automatically people's brains are like, this is the worst thing. And it is. I get it. I don't, like, the thing that I think that a lot of sex workers may need to do now is, like, find, like, bookers. Like, I always had a booker. I mean, granted, I was a porn star, so I had access to people that have large client lists that don't need to use those types of sites.
Yeah,
a lot of times they would, though, like, for advertising. I never really advertised at all, and I never really let anyone advertise.
You didn't have to. Because dead pussy was
I mean, it did hurt a little bit, but I also just didn't want it out there because I'm like, you have family and stuff like that. Like, they know, but at the same time, I'm like, I just don't want to have to fucking hear about it. And then because I also knew that I wanted to get into other stuff, and just having all that shit on the internet, I'm like,
makes it more difficult.
It makes it a little more difficult. Okay. Even though, like, I don't give a fuck, but I'm like, other people definitely give a fuck.
Have you had fights or conversations with frustrated family members?
No, not okay. Like maybe like some of the older ones, like my great grandfather, he doesn't.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
Just like the last one.
I don't have any grandparents that are alive.
He's like 96.
Damn.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Is he like, Aaliyah, please?
I don't think he actually knows. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Like, but it's this weird thing, I'm not sure if he knows, but I think he may know. I don't know. He acts very weird around me. He's 96, so he definitely doesn't like my tattoos. I know that for sure. And he definitely thinks my boobs are too big. And I'm like, well, I can't.
Well, that's not his concern.
Yeah. Super Jesus. Weird. My uncle, like everyone's actually always was really supportive of
it. Oh, great.
They were just like, okay, well, you're weird, but if this is what you
be
want.
Be a weirdo and fly free,
wanna,
baby.
If you want to do what you're going to do it anyway, so fucking just do it.
Yeah.
Now, did being in sex work all this time, did it ever make you tired of sex?
Not necessarily sex, but... people. Men.
Yeah, because so much women. Of sex work seems like it's just like being nice to people who are draining your energy.
So yeah, that's more draining. Like the sex part, I'm like, at least I could get off, and then like that gives me some. Yeah, because sometimes some dudes can be real depressing.
Because the guys like,
yeah, it's very, it's always been more emotionally draining. Yeah, there are sometimes when it can be like if you have a busy week, but a lot of times like that was more when I worked in porn, because that's like you're fucking for hours and like it's hard, you know,
hours
what I mean?
In a shoot, one shoot.
Yeah.
Ugh, does your vagina just go enough? I'm done.
Sometimes
your vagina will quit before your heart will.
There's been a couple of scenes where I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, my poor God. Girl. I'm like, I'm gonna need to take a day or two off. Thank you. She's all swollen.
Oh my God. And then when you got your period, would you just put a sponge up there?
Oh, yeah. You take the makeup sponges, which is great for regular sex too. I highly recommend it. You can do it for regular people.
You gotta
sex
dig
too.
It back up afterwards.
That's yeah, that's
like,
yeah. Always,
I was like, what's the problem? You just insert it like a
You take like a makeup sponge, non-latex, like latex free. You get it wet, you squeeze it out, and you stick it in there. And then at the end of the scene, you have the male talent pull it out for you.
The male pulls out your period makeup sponge.
There was one scene that I did. Sweet. I was bleeding so heavily. Ooh. I was working with Jason Brown, and I had like 4 in there. And he's got like a 10, 11 inch cock.
What? How thick is it?
It was actually like a normal, like where I could get a lot of it in my mouth. Cause I hate it when it's really long and thick and I can't get it down my throat. Cause I feel like I'm failing. I'm like, it doesn't open that way. No, he has an amazing, he has an amazing cock, but he had to like really get in there and dig him out for me.
Is that like ceremonial when the guy takes your,
yeah, it really is.
And are they always cool with it, or will some of them go?
All of the guys that I've ever had have always been cool with it. I know that like there's some guys that are like, oh, she's on her period. It's like, motherfucker, you cannot work ever.
Yeah.
Like, we can make that real possible. You're afraid of period.
Yeah.
You have any idea what position you're in right now?
Sticking out my poop hole and you're afraid of a little blood? Shut the fuck up.
You'll get over it, sweetheart. Yeah.
Did you ever do anything that you were like, this is disgusting. I never want to do this again.
The incest scene.
That was such a quick answer.
Always that one.
Incest porn is all the rage.
Because like I've done scenes where it's like mothers teaching daughters, where like the mother and daughter don't interact. Like that one for me was super fun because it's like mothers teaching daughters how to give blowjobs. And I'm like,
in your head, do you just pretend it's your friend, your gal pal?
Yeah.
That's really what it's not your fucking daughter anyway.
Yeah. But for this particular scene, it was me and my quote unquote real daughter having sex with her black boyfriend. It's always, you know, the black guy when it comes to the incest stuff for some reason. The cuckold. Porn is racist. It's so fucking racist.
Yeah, we've heard that many times before.
Every porn star we've ever talked to has talked about how racist
so fucking racist.
Porn like is, and how ridiculous, like when you fuck black dudes, your rate goes down. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, that never happened to me. No.
Oh, good.
No, that never happened.
That's so fucked up.
like for certain sites, like that's just their average rate that they pay.
Yeah.
like dog fart, they pay a specific rate for
dog fart.com.
Oh, you guys.
Dogfart.com.
How does that make you horny? What? That's a terrible name.
Do dogs fart and you eat it? What happens?
What?
You guys don't know about dog.
Please break this down. No.
Oh my God, Ali. I don't know.
Okay, so dogfart.com. I love the people that own it. Like the guy, he's great.
Super cool dude.
Super
real
cool
chill.
Dude. Very chill. Always has makeup artists, gives you sandwiches.
hey, if you're going to do work on dogfart.com, they want the highest quality. I get it.
But it's a lot of interracial porn.
Okay.
It's like blacks on blondes. watching my mom go black is the scene that I shot where I have my son who, for this particular scene, my fake son hit this guy's car with a skateboard. And in order to teach him a lesson, I had to fuck
you
this black man in front of him.
Darn. Wait, what the fuck?
Do they know these scenes are funny?
Now, did you turn to the camera at the end and go, once you go black, you never go back.
No, but they did want me to say the N-word, and I'm like, that's not happening.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Not, was it for that one? I don't want to say it was for that one. I don't want to give him a bad name. But it was for one of the interracial scenes. They're like, oh, you could say it. And I'm like, no, I can't.
Nope. Yeah, not doing that. That word
I'm
is
like,
never
I have
mouth.
A pass with a small group of people back home in Milwaukee where I am drunk. I will drop it all the time with them because they allow me to.
Right.
Because I grew up with them.
Only in that.
Only with those five people.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need that. You don't need it on the internet for all time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, there's actually, I have a fan that made a video of me. He was very upset with me that I blocked him on Twitter. So he made this video.
I'm sure for no reason at all.
None. No.
Yeah, he's probably being real polite and kind.
Super, super nice. Always nice, positive tweets all of the time. And I'm like, I can't have this positivity.
I get
in
it.
My
I'm pretty.
Life.
God.
Jesus.
What was he doing that made you block him?
Well, he made a 6-minute video. The first 3 minutes was explaining why he's my fan and why he likes me, which I'm like, oh, sweet. And then the next 3 minutes is why I'm racist against white people.
Oh,
he's white men.
He's a white guy, right?
Specifically.
That was a twist.
For performing in cuckold scenes. I mean, the name of the video is Aaliyah Janine's is a racist. It's on YouTube.
Wow. Does he present? He probably presents a terrible argument.
Oh, it is the best argument I have ever heard. It's so ridiculous. And then he talks about like how my comedy is racist against white men. And
no one can be racist against white men. What, God damn.
It's so.
I never get
really
it.
I know what funny. That means. I mean, it's like I could understand like man hating, but then also, I mean, what?
It's because I'm forcing a white man to want my husband.
But in a cuckle, if you have a cuckle, God. Kink in which a black guy fucks your wife because they know because that's
like that
yeah
the, like that's kind
the
of
guy the likes it
the and guy. Also it's not if anything it would just be disrespectful to that individual
well I always have to explain people that I'm like what you see on TV isn't real like I have I'll fucking do it like I have a bit I'm like you guys know like people always assume my life is consumed with sex it's like assuming Paul Walker knows how to drive a race car. Sometimes I get great laughs. Sometimes people are like, that's too soon. And I'm like, no.
I saw Paul Walker once at a CBS.
Too soon was two Fast and the Furious movies.
I mean, yeah, you given comedy.
Yeah. So like I use that. And I'm like, you guys, like you have to disassociate. Like you need, like we're not the same thing. You know what I mean? Like Angelina Jolie isn't really Laura Croft or what, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and so a lot of times they see us and because we are actually really having sex, they're like, oh, that's exactly what she does all the time in a real life.
How is porn sex for you different than the sex you have in your personal time?
It's a little shorter. Like by a couple hours.
Yeah. Is it
no,
do you like
it
that?
It could be very sweet. No, it depends. It depends on the guy and the mood. Basically, like I could go for hours and that is super fun. But it has to be with the right guy, you know what I mean? And they actually have to be good at it. Kind of thing, and that's kind of hard to find.
Have you ever got with somebody and they were so excited to fuck you that they were just like jackhammered you and just came into
seconds? Oh God, yeah. No, there's been a couple of those. There's been a couple that get so nervous they can't even get it up.
Yeah, that's common. Actually, I've heard.
Yeah, I've had one dude who's like heard my like he knows that I was a porn star, but for some reason like it like left him. And then like when we talked, I'm like, okay, so this is what's gonna happen socially, basically. Like I give guys rules and stuff like that. And he like you know, and I'm like, you know, because of the porn. And he's like, when he got up and he actually started dancing, and then I kicked him out of the apartment.
Like sexual dancing?
No, no. He got up and he's like, dance. He's like, oh my God, I just fucked a porn star. I'm like, honey, your dick was half hard and I'm the one who made myself come. I'm like, you could leave now.
Jesus.
Another bumper sticker.
Does it affect your personal relationships, or like when do you tell someone that you were in the sex industry? Like, I don't know. Just, I feel like people are so obsessed with this, like with your occupation when you're a woman, whether like if, even like saying we do a sex podcast makes people nervous. So I can only imagine what it's like for you.
Well, a lot of times I just make sure that they knew already.
They knew already. Okay. That's easier.
A lot of times. Yeah. Because like trying to explain it sometimes, I'm just like, I'd rather not. Like I tried Tinder for like 48 hours. And I'm like, I can't do this.
Did you get a lot of people who like knew your work?
Sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the very first time I signed up for Tinder, it was supposed to be like an experiment. I was going to do like porn star account and then regular person account. But this is when you actually had to hook it up with your Facebook thing. So I went to the real one right away. And then I think it was within like a day, like someone had messaged me on Facebook. Oh, I matched with you on Tinder. And mind you, I just downloaded the app and made the profile. I didn't even do anything.
You didn't even do anything.
Wow. And I'm like, okay, experiment over. Then I actually tried it to like see, and then I download it all at the same time. All right, let's see. And I just start swiping, and then I'm like deleted and canceled and like all of these things. I had a couple dudes like stalk me on social media a little bit, and I'm like, if you just come to a show, if you want to come, like I was actually thinking about using it just to get guys to come to show.
Well, hey, whatever works. You're very funny. Yeah. Whatever will get them in the door
and they can meet you. And maybe
that's the most important thing.
Maybe you like them.
Have you ever gotten recognized in the street and you're like, shut up, dude? Like,
right in front, like at least once a week. Almost, which is fucking weird. It's super weird to me.
Oh my gosh.
Well, the thing with the internet, like I've been retired for 5 years, but the internet is forever.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, does that suck? Do you like that? Are you like?
I mean, it's weird. People are like, "Oh, I love you." Like, I had this dude. He's this rapper from South Africa. Like, super cute. And like, I was outside smoking a cigarette, and like, I noticed him standing there. I thought he was just playing on his phone, and then I started walking. He's like, are you Alia Janine? And I'm like, and he said my name, like, that's how you say it. It's Alia. I'm like, yeah.
Oh shit, it's Alia?
No, no, Aaliyah's fine. Aaliyah's fine. But shit. like when my mother's mad at me, it's Alia. And I'm just like, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm a big fan. And then he walked away, and then like Instagram, he's like, oh, I just saw you on the street. And then like Katie Hannigan actually knows somebody that saw me in a train and took a picture of me. And I'm just like,
oh, nice.
I'm like, that's creepy.
Cool.
So now a lot, like I wear hoodies in the train and sunglasses.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, the taking pictures of people without them knowing is so fucking weird. I don't even do it to people who I think are non-famous.
Yeah,
never mind.
Well, I did a little bit, but a lot. Like, I'll cover up their face. Like if they're doing something douchey or whatever.
Oh yeah. I'll cover up their face. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll cover up their face because I'm like, oh wait, I don't like it when I get my picture taken.
Yeah, anything that can reveal who they are. Yeah. So we were talking about porn a little bit. Yeah. Why? I mean, I think we know some reasons why it's important, but like in your opinion, why is it so important to pay for porn if you can make like an emotional, I want to try to like encourage people to do it, because it's so easy to say like, yeah, you should, but then, you know, when you're in the heat of the night at midnight.
And do we have Sarah McLachlan's Arms of an Angel right now?
Right.
Where I could do my PSA.
Yes, I need a PSA from you.
Because for every dollar, for every view that I've had on every tube site, I would have $200 to $300 million right now.
Oh my God. That's so upsetting.
Really?
Yeah. Because we don't get residuals and stuff like that. One of the reasons why people should pay for porn is accountability. Mm-hmm. A lot of times. Because right now, I believe Pornhub, at least in Britain, they now, like a lot of the tube sites, they don't have age verification and stuff like this. Anyone, like kids as young as like 6 to 12 years old are going on these sites.
So all it says is, are you over 18?
So there's really no restrictions. Like there's just so much of it online that it really is kind of desensitizing people. And it is like, if you're watching porn every single day, mm-hmm. you are not going to have a normal sex life.
See, I knew right out of the gates, a reason I didn't even think of. I love this. That's so good. Like,
wow. Why do you say that?
Emotionally, it could fuck you up, especially for men. There hasn't been a lot of studies on this like that I've researched, at least, but there have been some where it doesn't say that it promotes men to commit violence against women, but it does desensitize men, especially like with the Me Too movement, where they're just like, whatever.
Yeah, because when you see kinky porn all the time, they're like, that conversation before.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, she totally wants it all of the time. And so it desensitizes a lot of people. And when it comes with sex education, it does fuck up a lot of guys. Like a lot of times they fuck too fast or they can't come at all.
Yeah.
Or they can't get it up sometimes unless it's like super intense, crazy shit. And they're like 18, you know,
but it's
because they've been watching when they're 12.
If you can't do it for yourself, do it for the children.
Yeah.
if you require a paid login, and I know that's going to keep really young people from seeing stuff before, that's so smart. That's very convincing.
I always had this theory. I think we've talked about it before on the podcast, but I'm curious what you think about it. I feel like guys that are threes on a 1 to 10 scale.
Yeah.
They'll look at you can look at tens all day, and I feel like it warps and fucks their brain up to think that they
deserve
can get
that.
A 10, not only can get a 10, but deserve it. And do you think that's true?
Absolutely. Yeah. It gives a different perception. Porn is not bad. It's an art form. It's a weird, crazy...
It's a fucking talent, too. God damn.
It is. Like, it took a long time to learn how to deep throat and not throw up. You know what I mean? Like, that takes skill.
Yeah.
Just a sexual athlete, you guys.
You are a sex-lete.
Wait, is there a trick that you to deep-throating?
Yeah, teach us some tricks, Lee.
Grab your thumb.
Grab your own thumb?
Grab your own thumb and then squeeze it.
Okay.
When you're doing it, that can
help. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it in my head. Why does that work?
Because it distracts your brain.
What the fuck? That's crazy. Wait, give us some other tips and tricks.
I knew I would learn something.
What's the best way to give a blowjob? Like,
okay, well, from what I know, hands are always important.
Mm-hmm. Both or one?
Well, both. You want to go back and forth. I like to do the stroke and the suck. If the guy can handle, because a lot of times guys can't handle that much sensation at first.
How do you know when you sleep with someone new? Like, how do you know how sensitive their dick is?
Well, you could kind of ask them. I mean, if they're cut or uncut, like cut, they're going to be a little desensitized. If they're cut or if they're not cut.
Oh, circumcised, uncircumcised.
Okay. Yeah. They're definitely.
I'm like, do they cut their wrist? What are you talking about?
I know what you meant.
Porn term. Are you cut or uncut? Like if they're uncut, they're obviously going to be more sensitive. There's always like the balls, the taint, like women.
What do you do with them?
You just hold a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You hold them and kind of like
a stress ball.
Like a stress ball and just squeeze a little bit. Some guys like them sucked on. Some
or those
don't.
Like those two Chinese.
Yeah, the Chinese.
Balls.
Yeah,
yeah.
And like you're rotating it around.
You just tickle. You kind of like tickle in the taint.
Yeah,
I guess.
And then grab a little bit. Some guys like them squeeze. Some don't. So you ask. I have nails, so I always like to ask because sometimes I'll dig, but sometimes they like that. It depends.
And you go like varying speeds. I feel like slow.
Yeah. Fast, yeah. I always like a lot of spit. I think that is important.
Do you spit on dicks or you just.
Well, professionally, yes.
Get it, collect it in your mouth. I get, cause I'm like, I don't want to spit on a dick. You know what I mean?
I spit, but I don't make it like a big show the way it is in porn. But
in porn it's more of a show thing. Sometimes like if the dick is big enough, I do have to come up and spit it out because like I can't like get it all on there. Because a lot of times when you get like when the dick is like further like back in your throat and stuff, it makes you salivate. Like you get more saliva and stuff, and that's actually a good thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like you don't want to choke on your own spit.
So true.
Yeah. So I get up and like a lot of times, like I'll grab it, like because I'll have like the head of the dick in my hand, and then go up and then like cover my mouth and then take.
Oh, so your hand goes over the head as well
with my mouth, and then so all the spit goes out that way too.
Have you ever slept with a guy with a small dick?
Yeah.
And what,
Jamie?
Damn, hope he's okay with that.
So wait, so,
I mean, this is like from high, like the smallest thing I ever had was from high school.
Okay. How small was it?
Like literally my pinky.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't know we were having sex. Small.
So what advice or would you give a guy who has a small penis? But because this is a question we've gotten a lot, and I don't know what to say. I truly don't. And like, is there something? Could you do anal, put a strap on? I don't know. What would you say?
For a smaller dick? Well, a lot of times with smaller dicks, grinding, you could do a lot of grinding because it is so small. So,
if it's hard, yeah.
Yeah, if it's hard and it's in there and you grind it and you could do it that way, like you don't have to like go up and down, you know what I mean? that way.
Yeah, it'll rub on your clit perfectly.
Yeah, so you can rub around that way and the little bit. It's kind of like having like one or two fingers in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that way. Yeah, I would say a lot of grinding.
I like grinding.
Anal. Yeah.
I love grinding. That's how I first learned to masturbate. So yeah. I'm like, that's my go-to.
Yeah.
Anything else? Like, but have you slept with anybody with a small dick recently? You don't have to name anybody, but did they tell you beforehand? Did you find out? What was your reaction? I'm just curious.
No, they've all been fairly average. A couple like bigger ones where I was like, hey, but sometimes it could be too big. Cause I also, you know, you have a tipped uterus or like, there's just certain things where you're just like,
how big was the biggest dick that
I've ever had?
Yeah.
Oh
my God, your voice just went down 10 octaves.
I'm like, who was that? I mean, Jack Napier, he has, was it like 12 or 13?
Ooh, wait, jeez, wow. Is he a porn star?
Yeah, he's the one that I did Watching My Mom Go Black with.
Jack
Napier.
Okay, wait. I just want to look
N-A-I-P-E-R. Shawn Michaels. I'm like, he's got an average size. No, he's got a humongous cock.
How big? Like, images. Wait, I'm just getting a bunch of the Joker. What the fuck? Jack, N-A-P-I-E-R?
Well, it's a character in Batman. That's why you're getting it. A lot of these porn names, I think, are named after people.
There it is. Oh, whoa. Oh my God, like that's a big dick.
Yeah, his was super long. Like, his is longer. Like, the thickness.
Long
is,
and thick.
Yeah.
And that's, he didn't take anything or get an enhancement of it. That's his natural dick.
The thing that sucks about when the dicks are that big is that it's really hard to keep them fully erect. Yeah, it's like, it's very complicated.
More blood has to go in, right?
Yeah. This is my favorite picture is a girl with a cup as if she's drinking it, but then his dick is just peeking out of the cup. It's kind of fun.
I love that photo.
Yeah, he's cute. He's got a good sense of humor. It seems.
Oh yeah, no, he's super fun to work with. I love
him. Wow.
He looks like he plays for like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah.
He has like a throwback style. He has throwback style.
Yeah.
No. Damn, that's a big dick.
I like it. Like, I want to say like close to the size of my forearm. Like that.
Yeah, that's a big
like
dick.
Because the thickness and the length, like more so the length.
Wow. Do you have to like mentally prep to take a dick that big?
Kind of, yeah. Or for anal, absolutely.
Ooh, you've taken a dick that big in your butt?
Oh, absolutely. Mm.
Holy crap. And you like anal?
Yeah.
Teach me.
What's your process?
Yeah. Okay, so the couple of times, like for work, I never really got off on anal, but I enjoyed it. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. It was always privately. It's always a lot slower. There's not a lot of pounding. It's more like a sensual kind of thing.
Yeah.
Preparation is always key for me. Mm-hmm. That
How
always
do you
works.
Prep for anal?
I like vibrating anal butt plugs. Like those are my favorite. There's one particularly by Hustler.
I feel like my butthole just went, oh, hey.
That works. Always having the tapered end helps because I have these gauges, butt gauges. They kind of
like
look
gauge in your ear.
Well,
like,
yeah, but they're butt plugs and they look like bullets and they're ported. So they have a hole so that way air could go through, but it's not tapered because it's actually meant to stretch
your ass. Because your anus can stretch pretty.
Yeah, but the thing is, it doesn't go back. That's the hole that doesn't go back to normal size if you blow it out. That's how girls like blow out their assholes.
How do you blow up your asshole?
When it's just open, you know, because how tight it is now, like a lot of times.
But like gaping assholes, they can get blown out.
Like, how do you know when you've gone too far?
Yeah, how do you know when your asshole's going to blow?
I've never gone that far, so I couldn't tell you.
Do you know people have blown out assholes?
It's like a blackout. Yeah. You don't know, and then it happens, and then there's no going back.
Yeah, I mean, the more you the bigger it's going to be. Like, there's certain girls right now that have colostomy bags. Like,
Wait, so, but if you've taken a dick that big up your butt, is your butthole bigger? And does it affect your digestion?
Not really, but like, because I do like Kegels and stuff, but you can do butt Kegels too. Mm. So like anytime after an anal, you do them automatically anytime someone says Kegel. Say it again, Kegel.
Or Trump.
But yeah, so like I did butt exercises. Like I do them now just in case. Because my great grandmother, before she died, like her vagina fell out. You know, she had a bunch of kids
You're
and like
dropping a lot of bombs.
How many kids
and vaginas?
Oh my God.
You never heard of like old people's.
I have, but I just don't think about it. I don't think about it.
I have not.
Oh, honey.
How many kids?
Oh, she had like 4 or 5, I want to say.
That's it? And her pussy fell out?
Well, I mean, she was fucking like 90.
Did she get railed on the regular? What the fuck? How did a person fall out?
They were kind of kinky. I mean, that was her second husband. So she got divorced and married a dude 10 years younger than her. So maybe she had more kids. I forgot how many people.
But the vagina.
But yeah, no, this was when she was a lot older. I used to work in a nursing home and like I've seen.
You have so many fucking.
I know every time
you
like,
need to write a book or make a documentary or something.
You're like Benjamin Franklin. You're jack of all trades over here.
Well, my mom was a nurse. So she's like, you should do this. I was 18 and like they paid for training. It was paid training and shit, whatever. I was on drugs. I'm like, maybe I could get drugs from here. This would be great. I was a raver.
Do you
at the
have
time.
My drugs?
Whoa. But like, I would like take care of like people that like just like strings of hemorrhoids coming out of their
blood. Okay. Let's do something sexier to end on.
Oh.
What are your dirty talk tips?
Oh, I love that.
I'm going to barf.
I love that.
I don't.
It was just so informative.
Very. I mean,
people need to know about this kind of stuff.
They do.
You really do.
You're like, wow. You're like the best person. You're like, you just know. Oh my God.
But is there anything we can do to stop our vaginas from falling out?
Yes. Well, Kegels and stuff like that.
How
but a lot
often
of times,
do we have to
like,
do them?
A lot of times, like shit just falls.
How about a pussy bra?
Well, they have that vaginal mesh shit. And then
well,
like,
that fucked up.
And that fucks up a lot.
There's
of
a lawsuit
people.
Happening yeah, with huge. A very close family member of mine. So yeah. I can't say anything, but.
Yeah. Oh, the same thing with one of my girlfriends back home. Yeah. And she had like these coiled things too. Yeah.
It's vaginal mess just fucking terrible.
It's horrible. So
don't
that,
get it in.
So that's the thing that basically can help older people especially
so
keep their
age
bladders.
Age has something to do with
age
it.
Age is a huge factor.
Okay. So I can't get my pussy blown out anytime soon.
No, you'll be fine, sweetheart.
Thanks.
Damn.
Really
okay.
worried. I got to keep her in. Like, I got to keep her in.
Just like in.
I like
doing
her.
Them now. Yeah. I mean,
how often do you do, should you do Kegels?
I'm doing them now.
I but like, so really, can you get a if I start doing Kegels, like however often is often, can I get a tighter pussy?
I would think, yeah, there's been a couple of times like when I've been with people and it's been a little bit harder to get in because I'm like, oh, I've been, because like if I haven't had sex in a while, I've been doing them a lot because I work out a lot.
How often do you do them?
Like I sit at my desk a lot because I'm in school right now and I go to school online. So a lot of times, like I'm doing my butt exercises. I have like a little thing underneath my desk. So like all of the fucking time, I guess.
But at a certain point, like for me, like even if I don't have sex for like a week or two, like it already hurts for the penis to go in.
Yeah, me too.
Like so it could like, be a little.
No thanks.
Yeah. So it takes a little. Yeah. So you have to be careful that you're not like squeezing it shut.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God.
Oh, this
I learned
me.
So much from you. What do you would you like to plug? What can where can we see
podcast,
where can we find
your,
you?
Yeah, everything.
We need more Aaliyah Janine.
My website aaliyahjanine.com. You can follow me on Twitter, the Aaliyah Janine. I have my podcast, Hormones Podcast, with Vaughn DiCarlo. That's kind of on.
Oh, Vaughn DiCarlo.
Yes, love Vaughn. We're kind of on hiatus with that until I'm done with school, and she has some family stuff as well. I have a new podcast with Justy Dodge, which is also.
Oh my God, I love Justy Dodge.
Called Impeccable Taste.
Nice.
Very fitting.
It is, where we talk about the things that we love and hate, but mostly hate because it's me and
that's
Jesse.
More fun.
Yeah, so much more fun.
Jesse's not going to sit there and say all the things she loves. And that's why I love Jesse.
Yes, exactly. I have a monthly show at Creek in the Cave, hardcore comedy show, where I give away free sex toys and stuff like that. Ooh. I'm doing another raunch show at stand-up in June. So yeah, just follow me on Twitter, Instagram. Just my website has links to everything.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
today.
Me. I'm excited.
This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
She educated, and her red lips all in her faded. She got the best tits. She kind of jaded. Don't be a sexist. See her naked? She's a bad bitch. She on that glossy street chic, the model mean cheek, the goddess mystique. She worked a sweet sleek, colossal green streak, a big sadistic, code to freak geek. They want a sneak peek, place to be. No, she ain't burned out yet. She's a sight to see, but she ain't heard that yet. She starts a fire, got a cigarette. Red wrap wrist and wire look good in her sweat. Man, she's 24. They were like she was so nice. Well, that was before. Now she wears no bras, cause she's like, who cares? She shatters the glass and the boys will snare. Yes, bitch, yes, bitch. 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 Yes,
Talkspace, the online therapy company that enables you to improve your mental health from anywhere at any time. Get matched with a licensed therapist from over 2,000 choices and message them whenever you need to. No commutes and no judgments. For a special offer for our listeners, visit Talkspace.com/GWF and use code GWF to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. Talkspace, it's therapy for how we live today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.